We are really grateful that you tuned in for the online services. We have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith, and I hope you can get some encouragement out of what we do, and we thank you for it. We're special. That's what I entitled my message. We are special. Did you know that? You're special. You're unique. There's not another one like you anywhere in the world. It's the way God created us, and we certainly are special. Now, this week in the lectionary, there's two scripture recommendations, one out of James and one out of Mark. And I want to look at both of them here in the message, but I chose the James chapter 1, verse 17 through 27, the scripture for this part of my message. And this part of my message is about some of the things that we ought to pay attention to, because we can get caught up in religion and self-deception. Now, we know that religion will get us in trouble. We have a personal relationship with the living God through Christ. So the passage in James exhorts us not just to be hearers of the word, but also to be doers of the word. But hearers and doers are special. It does not call us to shun religion in favor of activism. Well, we have to be careful, because it defines true religion and demands that we practice a religion that is genuine. That is the religion of Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a religion, but it's a religion in a lot of ways. So that's what makes it so personal. Well, some of the passages from James lay down some bracing call to what would appear to be rigorous, down-to-earth Christian activism. Now, these verses often are waved in our face by activists in church and out and in society as a challenge, perhaps even a taunt, to set aside our Bibles as proof texts or doctrines or our angels on the head of a pin dogmas, so to speak. And you get out there and you start doing for the oppressed and the poor and the needy, and they have a point. That's what we need to do. But the injustices and the outright horrors of war and poverty and racism persist among us still. But certainly the church could be doing more to confront these evils that would fly directly in the face of the Christian truth. And we could perhaps spend less on brick-and-mortar extravagances of building great, big, large churches, although there's nothing wrong with a great, big, large church, or even some traditional verses of contemporary controversies. Instead, devote more energy to concrete outreach to the desperate and to the destitute. But when we look at some of the past taunts and the challenges that James points us to, is truly we find that this is not so much a call to action as a call to piety or true devotion. Yeah, true religion, even though we said we're not about religion, we're about a relationship. But what is true religion? It's a call to be not only hearers nor doers, but hearers and doers of the world. And as far as our tradition has always insisted, salvation does not come from a reward for doing good works. No, it's a right relationship with God. It's not a reward for doing good out of a sense of guilt. So to use James's very own word, salvation comes from a word from above, from God, the Father of lights. A word that truly redefines us as people who are genuinely in love with the living God through Christ. So as people who want to put on the show of love for God or for neighbor in hopes of eternal or temporal reward, God in Christ gave birth to us by the word of truth. In James, it reminds us, welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save our souls. Now, it is a religious devotion, that attention to the word from above coming down from God, that initiates the practice of true religion, that's for sure. So true religion is based on straightforward theological understandings, and that we are called the children of God. Hallelujah. Well, also over in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 7, there's a lot of information there about what makes us special. What makes you unique? What makes you different? And me? And sets us apart from others. Now, obviously, we all look different. We all have different features. We have different noses. And we have different eyes and different hands and different body shapes. Oh, do we ever. We're coloring or our hair or our texture. We also have a unique personality, a character that's all our own. And our motives and our dreams and our aspirations and our fears and inclination, likes and preferences. Wow. In the book of Mark, in Scripture, the word meaning different or set apart is to be holy. To be holy. For Jews and later for Christians meant to be different, unique, not simply just ordinary. Now that's an important distinction, I think, as we look at both James and Mark's Gospel. Because the opposite of not being ordinary is, of course, to be ordinary. That's the word that we encounter frequently in Scripture in discussions or even disputes with Jesus and his contemporaries. The word konidos, the same word used in koine Greek, meaning common language of the people, when the same word is used to describe the person, it has an additional shade or meaning or just a little different, not just common, but unshallowed, unwashed, or mundane, or strips of specialness, or in other words, we're just plain old ordinary people. So the English translation of Scripture, we typically translate that word as defiled or contaminated. Now, the Pharisees used those kind of words to describe Jews who broke the Jewish purity laws, such as hand washing, eating kosher, or obeying their laws of the Sabbath. For the Pharisees, what set the Jews apart was their many, many traditional laws, which they followed to the letter. Jesus said he didn't come to do away with the law, but to follow the law to the little dot and tittle, you know, because the law is important. Not to abolish the law, but to show us how we can have relationship with God, because the law has set us free. Well, anyhow, I digress. Like most times, we see Jesus engaged with the Pharisees or those like them in Scripture, and Jesus disagrees with that definition. And most of Jesus' ministry, in fact, consists of Jesus refocusing people's understanding of Scriptures in area where he feels they got it wrong. Now, this is a biggie. Because Jesus typically pushes the envelope, so to speak, often on purpose in order to create a teaching moment. He was good at that. He here may have done the same because his disciples are eating food without first ritually purifying their hands, a practice of observed by the Jewish elders as recognized as proper Jewish behavior. And putting on their arrogant hats, they challenge Jesus on their behavior. In disregarding Jewish traditions, they are, in the Pharisees' mind, behaving like common people, you know, or like pagans, rather than behaving in the ways that distinguish them as Jewish in the eyes of others. Now, Jesus come back at them with an important concept. He said, what makes you uncommon or holy does not have to do with following hordes of human laws that you Pharisees and priests have made up and handed down for generations. What makes you uncommon, different from others around you, or holy is the state or the condition of your heart. Humans, despite their many differences, react a lot like, in fact, well, most commonly, the human heart can easily fall into states of envy and jealousy and arrogance and deceit, insults and judgments and foolishness and all kinds of other inclinations that can mess up their lives. and lead them into trouble. These common human inclinations don't bode well for relationships. And Jesus reminds the Pharisees that God chose the Jewish people to be special, not in order for them to create a boatload of rules for others to follow, to think that they're somehow better than other human beings, or to lord their specialness over others. No, God chose the Jewish people to guide the world to God by showing them the beauty and the holiness of a heart that's in tune with the Creator. A heart that loves, a heart that shows mercy, a heart that serves, and a heart that cares. So to be holy meant to have an extraordinary faith and uncommonly a good heart. You know, you hear people say, well, that so-and-so over there, he's got a good heart. Well, some of us are probably old enough to remember one of the original Keebler cookie commercials. It was complete with all those L's. I don't know if you remember the commercial or not, but Keebler had these L's, and they were called uncommonly good because they had gathered around this bowl and they were making the cookie dough, and they all had an input in it, and all the L's were standing around in the mixing bowl trying to decide what ingredients to put in, and then finally working together for the common good, and commonly working together, they created a cookie that Keebler says was uncommonly good. So my prayer for all of us is this, is that may we show the love of God through Christ, because we are uncommonly good. And that's what it means to be holy. It's what Jesus meant then, and even still now today, it still applies these thousands of years later. So to be a child of God, to be a servant of Jesus in our world today, you don't need to look a certain way. You don't need to follow certain rules. You don't need to attend a certain church, although we are glad you attend Bethel, or even worship in the very same way. No, you are extraordinarily good because you have a beautiful heart. And I know most of you within the sound of my voice have a beautiful heart. So when Jesus lives in your heart, everything common and ordinary in your life becomes extraordinary. And you find that you can do extraordinary things. Every single disciple of Jesus is special and extraordinary. Now that doesn't mean that we're better than anybody else. Now, even with that, what the God had given the Jews, the gift to go and share about God's love everywhere. That's why he called his chosen people. As we know, they failed miserably. So that's why he sent another Jew to help him out, and his name was Jesus. Jesus, with our whole heart, recognizes where every extraordinary gift comes from. Praise him each and every day. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for delivering me, and thank you for giving us a heart that is pure. It means that if we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us in extraordinary ways so that we can battle the demons of shame and guilt and judgmentalism, arrogance that make our world and people merely common. God never intended for any of us simply to be common. God sees each and every one of us as God's extraordinary gift, as beautiful masterpiece of his creation. So when you allow God's uncommonly good Holy Spirit to live in you, you can't help but to shine in living color to all who see you. So as your day goes on and we get ready for the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup and what we call Holy Communion, where we take time to remember what Jesus done for us through the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the promise coming again. As we look forward to cultivating that love of God in our heart. For when Jesus' disciples lived according to God's extravagant love rather than humankind's rules and regulations and judgments, extraordinary things can happen. And they probably will. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day.